This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve. Because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and I'm feeling so much better today. Thank you for asking. All right, we got a bunch of words, so let's talk about them. The first word in this episode is fourth. It is the first form. It is spelled F-O-R-T-H. It's at the bottom of the page. It is an adverb from before the 12th century. Number one, onward, in time, place, or order. The synonym is forward, maybe a word that people use a little bit more than forth. The example is, from that day forth, from that day forward, from that day, every day after that, they were just a little bit taller. Onward, in time, place, or order. From here, all the way. Also, place or order, first place, second place, from that place forth. Don't know how to use that in a sentence. That's okay. We don't need to come up with something. We just have to go to number two, which is out into notice or view, as in put forth leaves. Okay, this is an odd one. Put forth leaves. We are putting the leaves into view. Are the trees putting forth leaves? When you are raking your leaves, are you putting them forth in the street so they are in the way of all of the parked cars? Here, look at my leaves. I am putting forth my leaves for you to look at once they have fallen off the trees in the beautiful autumn time. Look at all of these beautiful dead leaves. I have put them into your view. Put them forth into your view. All right, that's a silly one. Number three is obsolete. The synonyms are away and abroad. Like, I'm going forth. I'll see you later. I'm going to take a trip to Cancun. Okay, it is sound effect time, and I am going to go glug glug. Now we have the second form of forth, which is a preposition from circa 1575. It is archaic, and it means forth from. Okay, the synonym is out of, and I sure would have liked an example here, but it's archaic, so I guess they don't really care. They don't care about my feelings at all. Out of, forth from. Maybe it's coming from, like, forth from my loins if I'm giving birth, out of, I don't know. I don't know. It makes sense to me, but I guess we don't say it that way. And I would like to have an example sentence, please, and thank you. Glug, glug. Next is forthcoming. This is an adjective from circa 1532. Number one, being about to appear or to be produced or made available, as in the forthcoming holidays. Also, your forthcoming novel. Also, funds are forthcoming. It's all about what's coming next. What is there in the future that's going to come into our present? Being about to appear or to be produced or made available. These holidays, these forthcoming holidays are being made available to you. Just for the low, low price of $19.99, 17 payments of that, and then you shall have these forthcoming holidays. Let's see, the forthcoming holiday for me, because I am in my own little timeline zone bubble here. Here in America, we've got Memorial Day coming up at the end of May. But for you, if you are listening to this when it airs, which you are probably not, the forthcoming holiday would be, in America, the 4th of July. There's probably some other ones around the world that I am not aware of. You know, end of June, July. That's when this is coming out. Your forthcoming novel. Oh my gosh, you wrote a book? That must have taken a lot of time and work. I'm so excited to purchase and never read your forthcoming novel because I'm too busy. Funds are forthcoming. Okay, send me that money. My funds are forthcoming. 2A. The synonyms are responsive and outgoing, as in a forthcoming and courteous man. He is responsive. He is outgoing. Oh, look at him. He's so extroverted, and he is responsive. When we say hello, he also says hello back, and he doesn't ignore us and look up at the sky. What a forthcoming and courteous man responding to me. There are people out there who are not forthcoming in this way. I'm sorry. I'm going to get on my old man soapbox. Let me just pull out my old man soapbox here. The kids today who are working in retail and stuff like that, boy, they could use a little extra forthcomingness, I think. Yeah, I feel so old saying that because that's what the old people were talking about when I was young. But it's true. But you know what? They're young, and so they'll learn eventually. We need more, I think, men to be forthcoming and courteous in this way. Courteous is good. Forthcoming. Responsive. What was the other word I was thinking of? Responsive. Outgoing. Responsible would be good. Number 2B, characterized by openness, candidness, and forthrightness, as in not forthcoming about his memories of medical school. That is a quote from Mark Kramer. So Mark Kramer was not forthcoming. He was not characterized by openness, candidness, and forthrightness. He was keeping it all close to the chest, wearing it on his sleeve. He didn't want to tell anybody about his memories of medical school because he fainted at the sight of blood, and that's not so good for somebody in medical school. He was a little embarrassed about that. So forthcoming. What is this about? Things that are about to come, being outgoing, being talkative about stuff. I guess I'm being kind of forthcoming here on this show because I'm talking a lot to you, but I'm also sometimes talking about my own life, and so I'm forthcoming about my own stories and memories and embarrassments. There's a little bit of a disconnect between the two of them, I guess. I guess you are coming out to say stuff. I don't know. But we can say that the etymology says, this is from the obsolete forthcome, which means to come forth. This is fantastic. So just clear and obvious and on the nose. Good job, words. Next we have forth of, two words. Preposition from the 13th century. It is archaic, very similar to just forth, which meant forth from, and this is forth of, and it means out from. The synonym is out of, which is the same synonym for just forth, which was the archaic preposition. So, forth, forth of, they seem like they mean just about the same thing. Forth from, coming out of a thing. We just saw a movie where something was forth of their mouth, and I won't explain anymore because it was really gross. We like horror movies. I like all movies, but there's a lot of horror movies in the house. There's horror movies in the house. Okay. Next we have forthright. One word, right, is R-I-G-H-T. This is the first form. It's an adverb from before the 12th century. Number one is archaic. Looks like most of this is, all of this is archaic. Number one is archaic. Specifically, 1A, it means directly forward. What's directly in front of you? When I was in the marching band, there was always somebody right in front of you, somebody who was forthright to me, and I had to just follow them till the ends of the earth. Number 1B, without hesitation, and the synonym is frankly. Can I be frank with you? I am going to speak to you without hesitation. Just whatever is coming out, I'm not going to hesitate whatsoever. When you ask me what's 1 + 1 and I'm going to say 4, I may not be right, but I will be forthright. Number 2 is also archaic. It means at once, right away. Also similar to without hesitation. Just what's there? What's there? Right in front. No hesitation. In the immediate times. The etymology says this is from forth plus right in Old English, which just means right. Okay. The second form of forthright is an adjective from before the 12th century, and we still have some archaicness, but only a little bit. Number one is archaic. It means proceeding straight on. Just keep on going forthright. Be a forthright person. Don't turn around. Don't go side to side. Just keep on going straight forward. You'll find your path if you keep on going there. What's that like if you're lost? If you're lost in the woods, just, did they say keep on just going straight? Because eventually you'll hit the edge. It might not be the edge you're looking for, but you'll hit the edge somewhere. The forest isn't infinite. Number 2, for forthright. Free from ambiguity or evasiveness. Also, going straight to the point, as in a forthright critic. Also, as in, was forthright in appraising the problem. They went straight to the problem. They knew exactly what the problem was. Oh, here's your problem. You got ants in the pants. No ambiguity, no evasiveness. We're not evading the situation. Right to the point. Sometimes I'm like, all right, can you be more forthright? Can you be more, just get to the point? Why are you giving all this chitter-chatter? Sometimes maybe I'm not the most forthright. Maybe sometimes I chitter-chatter a little too much. Number 3, notably simple in style or quality, as in forthright furniture. That furniture is getting right to the point. There's no extra fluff. It's just very simple in the style, and we love it. And quality. Simple in style or quality. How can you be simple in quality? There's good quality, bad quality. Are there other types of quality? Can you have simple quality? Forthrightly is an adverb, and forthrightness is a noun. So it seems like the adjective of forthright is being used more than the adverb, because the adverb was just 100% archaic. But hey, look at this. We got the third form of forthright. It is a noun from 1606. It's archaic again. And it means a straight path. I'm just going to take this forthright here. I'm going to take this straight path right there. I'm going to keep on going forward. Whatever's right in front of me, it's forth there. That's where I'm going. All right. I don't know how to use that in a sentence. A noun, forthright. I'm walking the forthright. Next is forthwith. Forthwith. This is one word, adverb from the 14th century. You could also give it a hard TH, forthwith. The synonym is immediately. And it's not archaic. It's not even obsolete. So forthwith, just right now, please. please give me some food forthwith. I am so hungry. I'm good on water, but I need some food. Next is fortification. When I first read this, before I recorded, I was reading through the words, and I thought this said fornication. And I was like, wait, didn't I already read that word? And then I reread it, and I said, oh, no, it says fortification. This is a noun from the 15th century. Number one, an act or process of fortifying. Like, maybe you are doing some fortification on your castle. Maybe your castle isn't strong enough, or you would like it to have a big dome, a big force field. That would be some fortification. Number two, something that fortifies, defends, or strengthens, especially works erected to defend a place or position. Yes, like maybe during the apocalypse when you got the zombies, maybe you need to fortify your house. You need to put up some walls, maybe put up a tower so you can shoot arrows at the zombies that are coming, and they can't get you because you're in a fortification. That's where I want to live, in a fortification, so nobody can get me. Next is fortified wine. Two words, noun from 1874. When I have fortified wine, I go... This is a wine, like sherry, to which alcohol, usually in the form of grape brandy, has been added during or after fermentation. So, when you're making the wine, you got the fermentation process, you got all those grapes, or whatever fruit it is that you're making it out of, and you squish them, and you smash them, and you blish them, and you blash them. And then you let that stuff sit, and you probably put some other stuff in there, and it fortifies, and it gets all that alcohol. And but then, if you want fortified wine, you shall add maybe grape brandy to this fermentation, to the wine that is being fermented, and then it becomes a new kind of wine, and you might call that sherry. Alcohol, usually in the form of grape brandy. So that's a whole other thing. Is that the thing that's fortified? Or does the original wine get fortified when you're adding this other stuff in there? People were just like, hey, we got this wine, we got that brandy, let's put them together and see what happens. All right, now, well, what's fortified? Here's the word fortify. There's a few definitions, because it seems like you can deal with alcohol. Fortify can be alcoholic, or it can also be making your house stronger. Or maybe your body. Maybe you got to fortify your body. How can you fortify your body? Oh, I don't know. Eat good foods, get good rest, exercise, and wear chain mail. So, fortify is a verb from the 15th century. We are starting with transitive. There's just one of those, but a bunch of sub-definitions. To make strong, that's what it is. You're making it strong. Oh, well, maybe your wine. You thought, maybe my wine isn't strong enough, so I'm going to fortify it with some other alcohol that's even stronger. Is that all it is? Is that why we call it fortified wine? Because you're making it stronger? You're making it have more alcohol? I guess so. So, to make strong as A, to strengthen and secure by forts or batteries. And these are not the batteries that give you power that you plug into your phone or whatever. These are, you know, they're like forts. And, you know, battering rams or other things. I can't remember what a battery is exactly in this context. But an example of what you are securing or strengthening would be a town. Let's maybe build a wall around the town to fortify it. Of course, there's always that good old force field. You can never go wrong with a force field. That's what my grandma used to say. B, to give physical strength, courage, or endurance to, as in fortified by a hearty meal. Ah, yes. A good hearty meal will fortify you. I think I need to scoot this over. So it's giving you strength. I don't know how a hearty meal is going to give me courage necessarily. I think it's going to make me tired and sleepy, like a good Thanksgiving meal should. Endurance, I guess it depends. You know, if I'm about to run a big race and I eat a bunch of that pasta, the good carbs, I need a big old plate of pasta before I run the marathon. I would be fortified by that hearty meal, I guess. What are you supposed to do it the night before? Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Good hearty meal to give you physical strength and courage. Oh, now that I ate pasta, I can go fight the dragon, because I was scared before. C. To add mental or moral strength to. The synonym is encourage. Interesting. I don't know if I ever thought about that word. Maybe I talked about this before. I don't think so. Encourage. You are giving courage to something. You are encouraging. Okay, anyway. The example is fortified by prayer. Fortified by prayer. Okay, I guess if you sometimes people feel strengthened by praying. If you pray for me, I will feel so fortified. You should definitely pray for me. D. To add material to for strengthening or enriching, as in, oh, fortified milk. What are we putting? Are we putting grape brandy in the milk to make it stronger? I mean, you could try it if you wanted to. Don't be a child, because you should not be drinking alcohol. Unless it's that alcohol-free grape brandy. But this is, we're adding material to strengthening or enriching. I don't know, maybe fortified milk is fortified with calcium or protein, things like that. Ooh, it makes the milk so much stronger and better because it was missing all those good things, but now we put good stuff in there. Okay, now we have intransitive, which is to erect fortifications. We need some fortifications here around the town, so can you please erect some? Thank you very much. Fortify. Good job fortifying. Fortifier. That is a noun. A fortifier. Ooh, I'm thinking of a fire that's fortified. There's a wall around. It's a fortify. I don't know. There's something there. A fortifier. Spelled differently, though. Okay, this word is from... it's from the Latin fortis, which means strong, which, you know, it's related to fort and that stuff. We haven't even gotten to, fort was here. We had fort, fortalice. That was another word that doesn't get used anymore. That was all that stuff. So now we got to go to... Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, fortis. What is this? It is an adjective from 1897. It means produced with relatively great articulatory tenseness and strong expiration. Okay, so the example is, this has to do with how you say sounds. So it says the letter T, or the sound T, in the word toe is a fortis, but the sound D, duh, in the word dough is lennis. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. Fortis, produced with relatively great articulatory tenseness and strong expiration. Tuh, it's a very strong sound. Other ones I think would be like k and I'm going through the alphabet. J, K, D, F. Anyway, there's expiration. There's like breath coming out. You're pushing it out, and it's a strong sound. But D, in the D in do is a little bit more subtle, a little bit more deadened. And so lennis, I guess that type of sound is called a lennis because it's different than a fortis. A fortis is strong because it's got the word fort, because it's been fortified. The T in toe is fortified. Okay, that was very interesting. It's the word for strong, the Latin word for strong. That's what it is. Good. Yeah, I didn't know about this. So does like every sound that we can make have a name to it? Or it's like a type of thing? A lenis and a fortis. Next is fortissimo. Oh, such a good word to say. Such a good word. Boy, I'm feeling... Well, I had a little bit of coffee. I got a coffee over there, and maybe it's made me a little extra energetic. Maybe it fortified me, so I'm feeling I got to loosen up. So, fortissimo, the first form, is an adverb or an adjective from 1724, a word that I very much love to say, fortissimo. It means very loud, and it is used especially as a direction in music, because it is Italian, and it is the superlative form of the word forte, which, of course, we talked about in the previous episode, which that was not me who talked about it. It was somebody else. Fortissimo. Fortissimo. I think there's other forms. There's like, I think you can even go fortissimo if you really want to go super very much fortified loud. You can do that. Next is the second form of fortissimo, which is a noun from 1856. This is a very loud passage, sound, or tone. So when it is played fortissimo, you are calling that thing fortissimo. Ha! That was a fortissimo that I just did. Next is fortitude. Noun from the 12th century. Number one, strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger or bear pain or adversity with courage. So if you have fortitude, you have the strength of mind to pursue, to deal with pain, to say, screw you, danger, I'm coming in. Watch out. You better open the door, because I'm about to break it down. Go forth with courage, fortitude. It's very hard to do this. It's kind of scary. But, you know, it's good to try. I think if you fake it, you shall make it. Number two is obsolete. The synonym is strength, which, I don't know, that doesn't seem terribly obsolete. I have fortitude. I have strength. Sure. I guess if you have physical strength, then you are possibly more likely to have mental fortitude. But you can have the mental fortitude without the physical strength. I think that's, they help each other, but you can have one without the other. It's a very difficult thing for many people to do, but it's good to try. It's good to try. It's good to get out of that comfort zone and just have a little fortitude. Be like, hey, this situation isn't as scary as I thought it was. I'm going to have more fortitude next time. Next is fortnight. Noun from before the 12th century. It is a video game that is extremely popular that Spencer has never played. Oh, wow. The dictionary says that. Interesting. For real, though, it is a period of 14 days, which is also 2 weeks. And why do we call this fortnight? It is from Middle English, for tonight, which is the word for plus T-E plus the word night, but it's all one word, for tonight, which is an alternative of 410 or 14, then the word night. It got smushed to fortnight, but it is also from the Old English, fjortein night, which means 14 nights. That's what it is. So I was always very confused as why is 14 days, 2 weeks, a fortnight? And it's really just the shortened form of 14 nights. So now it makes sense. But what doesn't make sense to me is why the video game is called Fortnight. And let's look up that real quick. Why is, oh boy, Why is game Fortnite called that? This is, oh, I spelled it right. So it's actually spelled F-O-R-T-N-I-T-E, combining fort, which is because you're building forts, and night, spelled the right way, which is referring to the nighttime setting and storm. Wait, does it always take place at night? Unique sound association with the game's themes. Nighttime and storms. Now, this is the AI thing, but it's probably pulling fairly accurate. Players had to defend against zombies that attacked at night. And you're building... Oh, I see. You're building forts... See, this is coming from somebody who has never played the game before. You're building forts during the day to protect yourself, and then at nighttime come the scariness. So it's fort during the day and attacking during the night. And so it's Fortnite. But they didn't... They spelled night wrong. And because they were like, we can't spell things correctly these days. We gotta spell everything wrong in these modern times of technology. Okay. Let's see. Anything else about that one? Nope. Except for we are going to go to one more word, which has three forms. They're very short. Now we have Fortnightly. Oh, they use Fortnightly in a Flight of the Conchords song. Oh, can Spencer remember where it is? Fortnightly. It's talking about spending his money, there, something like that. Maybe I'll look it up. But anyway, the first form of Fortnightly is an adjective from 1800, and it is occurring or appearing once in a fortnight. What happens fortnightly? The second form of fortnightly is an adverb from 1820. It is once in a fortnight and also every fortnight. The third form of fortnightly is a noun from 1940, and it is a publication issued fortnightly. Oh, did you get the fortnightly? Yep, I got it. It gave me all the information that I could have used 2 weeks ago. Thanks. Okay, now, oh, I should look up. I should look up. Flight of the Conchords lyrics fortnightly. Oh, yeah, it's in the song Mother Uckers, right? Is that where it is? No, wait. Hold on. Yes. Let's search. Let's search for fortnightly. I pay my mother uckin' rent fortnightly. Mother uckers at the bank trying to play me. An amount of my account goes out to 8p. Yeah, you know me. It's a song where they're saying a lot of swears, but they're not saying a lot of swears. They cut off a sound or a letter to make them not actually say swears. So like mother ucka and shee and stuff like that. It's a great song. Okay, so they're paying their rent fortnightly. Are they paying it twice a month? I don't think you should be paying rent fortnightly. What a good word. What a good use of that word, though. All right, we gotta pick a word of the episode. This has gone on too long. What is this craziness? We had fourth, forthcoming, fourth of, forthright, forthwith, fortification, fortified wine, fortify, fortis, fortissimo, fortitude, fortnightly. Okay, I did not expect there to be three forms of fortnightly. Which one shall we pick? Let's pick fortified wine as the word of the episode. Drinking fortified wine. It's really, really strong. I'm feeling fortified. I'm feeling so fortified. I got fortitude. Drinking fortified wine. Wonderful. That was great. I have not watched another movie since the last time we chatted. What did we watch last night? The Studio. And, oh, we've been watching, sometimes we'll just throw on old episodes of It's Always Sunny when we don't have another thing to watch, or we just need a little something. And so we've been, we've watched the first and the second season, or we're in the second season now of It's Always Sunny. And wow, that's just a great show. Frank just showed up. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. Please tell your friends, write a review, share it out into the world if you so choose. Join the Patreon for $1 a month, and you will get very early episodes. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. Fortissimo!